Rich Kimble, Ryan Wehning here with you in hour number two on this Friday afternoon. Red Sox baseball tonight as the Sox take on the New York Yankees. That series gets going tonight, and Sunday night, ESPN Major League Baseball will be there to broadcast the game. The lead voice of those broadcasts, Dan Shulman, joins us right now on the phone. Dan, welcome back.
Hi, Rich. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you. And, well, here we are 20-plus games in, and that American League East wide open, 4.5 games separating top to bottom. Is this the kind of jumble you think we'll see in that division all year long?
I think so. I think it's the kind of division where, you know, 87, 88 wins might be enough to win it. I don't know that there's a great team in the division, and I don't think there's a terrible team in the division. Certainly the Yankees and Blue Jays are disappointed with how they're playing so far. I think the Orioles have to be happy with how they're playing. The Red Sox, a lot of talent, but some question marks. But, yeah, I think it's the kind of year where teams could beat each other up in the division all season long, and I'm not sure anybody's getting to 90.
Dan, we know all about the history of the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry, but do you think today in 2016 it has the same shine that it used to?
Well, it certainly doesn't have the same shine as it did, let's say, in 2003 and 2004. I mean, that was the peak of it, you know, the 2 years that they met in the ALCS and they had some phenomenal regular season games. It certainly has an appeal. You know, to me, Yankees, Red Sox, Cubs, Cardinals, Dodgers, Giants are the three biggest rivalries in baseball, and they have been for a long, long time. There are others that, you know, sneak in there every now and again, but in terms of staying power, I think those are the biggest three. So, I mean, listen, I'd be lying if I said it was the same as 03 and 04, but it's still a big deal, and I can guarantee it's going to be, well, the next 2 weeks we have them next week in the Bronx. I can guarantee you there will be two of our highest-rated games of the season. There are tons of Yankee fans, tons of Red Sox fans, and it's a good early test for these two teams.
But for a Yankee team that has been known for years for the big free agent splashes, it was sort of a quiet offseason for them, but maybe one of the best offseason pickups was Starlin Castro, who's off to a terrific start for them.
Yeah, he's a good player, and I think, you know, he really impressed a lot of people last year when Joe Maddon removed him as the shortstop of the Cubs, and he handled the switch or demotion or however you want to say it really, really well. And he did some good things for the Cubs at second base down the stretch. I think it was a good trade for both the Cubs and the Yankees, actually. I think the Yankees miss Adam Warren, but Starlin Castro is a good player. He fills a need. And again, the Yankees are trying to get younger and more athletic, and with Castro and Gregorius, that's a step in the right direction. In terms of it being a quiet offseason, the Yankees are the only team in baseball that didn't sign a major league free agent in the offseason. But I'm not sure this is I'm sure it's not a permanent philosophical change. I think what they're doing right now is trying to get younger, not wanting to, you know, give away too much in their farm system. And Teixeira is up at the end of the year. Beltran's up at the end of the year. CC Sabathia has a vesting option, so he could have one more year. A-Rod has one more year. But I'll bet you anything, if not after this season, certainly after next season, the Yankees really get back into the free agent market.
Dan, we know it's a copycat league, and the Kansas City Royals' success at the back end of their bullpen has spawned a bunch of pretenders or impersonators. How good do you think the Yankees' bullpen is going to be once Aroldis Chapman returns?
Well, you can't have a better 1-2-3. I mean, the Royals' pen is as good a pen as I've ever seen. But I don't know how you stack up any three relievers against Miller, Betances, and Chapman. Now, if you go 4-5-6 and you're talking about a whole bullpen, I think you can still make the case that Kansas City has the best one. But what the Yankees have done it's impressive. Now, do they have enough leads? Can they give enough leads to that bullpen to make it pay off? And I'm interested to see how Joe Girardi uses them. I mean, say they're leading 3-2 after six innings, and that's it for the starter. Is it Miller, then Betances, and Chapman? Or does he try to squeeze an extra inning out of some other reliever because he doesn't want to use all three big guys in the same game because he wants to have one of them in reserve for the next day? Nobody's ever had a bullpen like this with these three guys, this level of pitcher before. And I'm curious to see how it actually plays out.
We're talking with Dan Shulman of ESPN, Red Sox-Yankees Sunday night on ESPN. And the Red Sox have had an interesting start to the year with the whole Pablo Sandoval story, but some surprises too. The good work at first base, surprisingly good work of Hanley Ramirez, and then the emergence of Travis Shaw. From your perspective, what's the best story about this Red Sox team?
I like the Travis Shaw story a lot. He did well last year, the last couple of months, and on numbers alone, he probably deserved the chance to compete for a starting spot this year. Didn't look like that was going to happen, and then, of course, Sandoval played himself off the, you know, basically off the roster, just wasn't a viable player. Now is the shoulder injury. So I think Shaw is a really good story. There are two others I really like. Steven Wright's a very good story for this team right now. You know, this guy at best would have been the sixth starter, maybe swingman, probably more likely at AAA. And then Rodriguez gets hurt in the spring. Wright gets thrown in there, and he's been their best starter so far. And I'll tell you another story that I think is really good, and it's not, you know, it's not an out-of-the-blue story, but seeing Dustin Pedroia healthy again, it's been a while, really, since Dustin Pedroia has been 100% healthy. He's still a really good player and a really important player for this Red Sox team. And just as a fan of the sport, I hope Dustin Pedroia is able to stay healthy all season long.
Well, around here, every move that John Farrell makes is a broken down and overanalyzed. From a national perspective, how is he viewed as a manager?
I think there's a little overanalyzing going on. I mean, and that happens. You know, Joe Girardi gets it in New York. I live in Toronto. John Gibbons gets it here all the time. Mike Matheny gets it in St. Louis. You know, a Joe Maddon, a Bruce Bochy, those guys are pretty much immune to it, but just about everybody else gets it. I think John Farrell's viewed as a fine major league manager. I mean, you know, could he pinch hit one more time here or use a different reliever there? You know, it's not cut and dried, black and white. And John Farrell's got experience. He's been in all different parts of baseball. He's been on a farm system. He's been a pitching coach. He's been a manager in two different cities now. I think the vultures are circling a little bit prematurely on him. He knows what he's doing.
Dan, the Sunday Night Baseball booth has been in the news a little bit lately. Jessica Mendoza has quickly become a favorite here of the downtown crew. What has impressed you most about working with her so far?
Well, her work ethic is off the charts. I mean, she got parachuted in, you know, suddenly last year at the end of August and did, I think, six games with us and did really well. That's not easy. I mean, she was not doing a regular baseball game at that time, and then all of a sudden here she is, and she did the wild card game with us, and her work ethic is off the charts. I mean, she spent all of spring training. You probably saw a lot of the pieces on SportsCenter and Baseball Tonight, you know, going from camp to camp to camp, getting to know people, getting to know the game. I mean, she's really immersed herself in baseball, and she wants to learn as much as anybody that I've ever been around. And, I mean, she's about as nice a person as you'll ever meet, too. I mean, she really is. She's great. Aaron's great. It's a really fun crew to work with. So I've really enjoyed it. I think she's doing a fantastic job, and she's getting more confident every week, and it's been really fun.
Away from the Red Sox-Yankees for just a moment, the news broke late last night, early morning, about Dee Gordon and his suspension. First, were you surprised by that? And overall, how is Major League Baseball doing in addressing this issue?
Well, yes, I was surprised, and maybe we should be past the point where we're surprised about anything. But this is a great reminder to all of us, and I know Dee Gordon said he didn't knowingly take anything. And, you know, whether you take the player at his word or not, you know, it's up for each individual person to decide. But maybe this is a great reminder that it's not just the 240-pound sluggers who have been caught doing this or are doing this. You know, back in the heyday of steroids, we all focused on guys like Bonds and McGuire and Sosa, but it's not just those guys. It's pitchers. It's career minor leaguers who just want to get a chance to get to the majors. And evidently, it's 160-pound guys who want to be a little bit stronger and recover a little bit quicker and work out a little bit more and whatever they feel that it's giving them. But, you know, Dee Gordon is a terrific guy. It really is. And I wouldn't say that about every player, you know, who if this had happened to many other players. He's a terrific guy. And I feel sad for him. Assuming he made a poor choice and that he did this knowingly, I feel sad for him that he made this choice. I mean, he got paid. He had a great year last year. He'll be back in 80 games. Hopefully his reputation survives. The Marlins have said they're going to welcome him back. What choice do they have, really? I mean, they're going to pay him for a few years. So, and I just hope he's a viable player when he comes back.
Well, I feel bad, too, for Chris Colabello, a New England guy, but appears to be that classic example of the guy who struggled and struggled to finally get to the major leagues.
Yeah, and a guy, again, because I live in Toronto and do some Blue Jays games, I've gotten to know. And another guy, and I'm not just saying this, who's a great guy. And now Chris has told a different story. He has said he has, I mean, he's really, he fought this as hard as he could. And whether he was the victim of something, then I'm really sad for him. If he made a poor choice, I'm still sad for him because this guy, as you know, Massachusetts guy, Northeast guy, I mean, he played 7 years in the independent league and never got a sniff of the majors and then has put together a nice career here as a 29, 30, 31-year-old the last 3 years in the majors. And I wish this one hadn't happened too. I really do. There are some guys when it happens and you go, oh, no surprise, or oh, serves them right, or something like that. Dee Gordon and Chris Colabello, in my, to me, are not those kinds of guys.
Dan, before we let you go, we're in such a golden age of great young under 25 talent in Major League Baseball. Are there a couple guys that maybe don't get the attention of the Harpers, the Trouts, but guys that you think are very, very talented and great fun, and just as a baseball fan, you enjoy watching play?
I think Francisco Lindor, the shortstop for Cleveland, is definitely one of those guys. We did something on all the great young shortstops that there are, and, you know, Xander Bogaerts is one of them. He's only 23. Addison Russell is such a young player. Ketel Marte, the shortstop in Seattle, is a good young player. Carlos Correa, obviously, is a guy just 21 years of age, and he's like, in my mind, he's right on the cusp. He's not yet in that Harper Trout conversation, but he's right on the cusp of getting there. You know, another guy, it's funny, who is a great player. I mean, in my mind, definitely one of the 10 best players in baseball, and he's young, and nobody talks about him that much, is Manny Machado. Manny Machado is a phenomenal baseball player on both sides of the ball, and I think he should get more attention than he does. And I don't know why he doesn't get that much attention. Maybe Baltimore has to have a big year for him to have that kind of a season. And in Toronto, a guy that I think is just is so much fun to watch is Marcus Stroman. I mean, he's only 5'8". I think he's 23, maybe 24. But he's got so much life in him, so much talent. Came back from a serious ACL, torn ACL, earlier than expected. Pitched in September and in October for the Blue Jays last year. He's a lot of fun to watch.
ESPN Sunday Night Baseball from Fenway Park as the Red Sox play host to the Yankees. Dan Shulman, it's always a pleasure for us to talk with you. Thanks for making time for us, and we'll be watching Sunday night.
All right, you got it. Thank you.